Please support Gospel Tangents by purchasing a transcript available at Amazon.com or our website, gospeltangents.com/shop. Proceeds will be used to create documentaries on Mormon history, science, and theology. We'd like to create some series, and we really need some support to do that. Thanks again for listening. We're continuing our discussion with Jim Van Cannon, a counselor in the First Presidency of the Remnant Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In this conversation, we're going to compare differences and similarities between the law of tithing and the law of consecration between the LDS Church and the Remnant Church. We've made a few passing references to the Order of Enoch. What is that exactly?
That was something that was set about in the church, and that was, 1850s, I believe, was probably about the first time that was there. And basically, it was the idea of consecrating. And so I'm thinking that the LDS Church, you all don't consecrate?
Well, that's an interesting thing. So
you just tithe?
We do tithe now. So one of the interesting things, just to give you a little history, and I'll try to keep this short because it's a big topic. So we, you know, in Kirtland, they really believed in consecration, tried to do that in Missouri, tried to do that in Nauvoo. When our churches split and Brigham took everybody out to Utah, mm-hmm. consecration was a huge thing. Mm-hmm. But because of polygamy, the federal government, in trying to stamp out polygamy, said, well, we're going after the economic engine of Mormons, which was consecration.
Yes.
And so, they started confiscating. Well, when they went after the temples,
So they grabbed the surplus.
Yeah. But okay. they went after the perpetual immigration fund, because they wanted to stop immigration from Europe to Utah. And so the U.S. government really targeted consecration. And so a lot of the churches at the time, Congress passed a law that said anything over $50,000 we're going to own. And so in order to get around that, a lot of times the church would say, okay, Bishop, you own this building. And so they would try to distribute it out. And so that's really, I know a lot of saints, this is really kind of a topic that's Great Basin Kingdom by Leonard Arrington. He talks about this really well. But it seems that the federal government was what actually stamped out consecration. The saints didn't really want to abandon it. And so in replacement, yes, tithing. But just to add to that, still, we'll talk about temples a little bit here in a minute, but in the LDS temple ceremonies, one of the things that we covenant to is to obey the law of consecration. Now, we don't do that in the same ways that the saints in the 1800s did. We typically, it is pretty much just tithing. But we covenant that, you know, should that law come back, that's something that we would do.
You would do. Okay. Yeah.
So,
okay.
So it's kind of still around, but not in the same way.
But the importance is there.
Right.
You see the importance.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. And so we still, those sections on consecrations are very, very important to us as well. So that's interesting. So as you're talking about gathering to Jackson County, is that in the same form of consecration? Are you consecrating all of your things together, giving them to the bishop and letting him disperse them?
So that's an interesting part about that. So having seen some of these, what I would call them all things common, kind of little groups that are out there, it's not like that. We interpret all things common a little differently, and we interpret the consecration differently in that respect that it's not a common purse. Certainly we're to go before the bishop, and we're to get counsel from him of how we would spend our monies, but we are still the steward over those monies. And so even when we live in community together, we don't have that community purse. Everybody has their own paycheck, has their own monies. It's out of their own volition to do so that, hey, so-and-so needs this or whatever, or they consecrate that surplus to the bishop, and the bishop then, of course, can, at a greater level, look at who needs what and then provide that to them. So does that make sense?
So, yeah, let me make sure. So unlike the early saints that used to, they would pretty much put everything in the bishop's storehouse, and then the bishop would distribute it as saw fit. At least that's the, there were other methods.
Well, that's right. Now, that's what we would say. We would take our surplus, and we give our surplus in that mannerism. to the bishop.
Okay.
Okay. So that does occur. But at we still have our own, I just want to make sure the difference between that and a common purse. Because, you know, there's a number of groups out there that look at things where there's one checkbook that everything is written from. And that's not the case with
us. I believe that's how the FLDS Church.
Yeah, is that right? Okay. I thought maybe that's what they had done, but I wasn't quite sure.
So as far as your community then, so you're trying to gather to Jackson County. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their job, their day job, whatever. And then they will donate surplus to the bishop. And then the bishop can disperse those as needed to other more needy members. Is that how it
right,
works?
Right, yeah. Time, treasure, and talent. Whatever it happens to be that's needed, and that's how we take care of each other.
Okay, well that's interesting. So, what? How about tithing? Do you do tithing as well as this surplus?
Yes, we certainly do. Yes. So surplus is on top of your tithe.
On top of your tithing.
Right.
So you would expect all good members to participate to donate 10% of their income.
It's 10%. It's 10% of your increase.
10% of your increase.
Right.
I know, because the Community of Christ has a different idea of increase as the LDS Church does.
Well, I think every individual has an idea of that. It's one of the things that I know that I'm sure all the churches have struggled with is that please don't make tithing like filling out your 10W-40, you know, looking for your deductions. You know, the idea is to, you know, rightfully tithe what you need versus what you, you know, is a want. And it's always different with each person, right? So we try to help the saints through that and instruction and so forth. But we don't force them, nor do we tell them what is what. That's that here again, they're stewards of the Lord's or his things, and it's up to them to give as they see that they need to.
I might be getting in trouble for trying to promote this, but I'll just preface this with this. This is not an official publication of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But as far as I know, in our church, one of the big questions can be on, is there a, do you pay on your net, like your net income or your gross income?
Right.
And our church has similarly said, you do what you want. So some people pay on gross, some people pay on net. I actually heard a saying one time in priesthood meeting, do you want net blessings or gross blessings? I was like, wow.
I like that. That's pretty good.
So at any rate, I'm not going to get into that can of worms. But basically, you know, for most people, I think it's different if you're a business owner. But if you're just an employee, most people will either pay on net or gross. And that's kind of how that is. I think if you're a business owner, it's a little bit different because you've got, you know, income and things. In the Community of Christ, as I recall, and I could be wrong, so if there are any Community of Christ listeners out there, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to say this wrong. But as I understand, at least my friend Daryl, he said he talked about increase as you did. So, you know, you're going to pay your mortgage, you're going to pay your taxes, you're going to pay all that, and then whatever you have left over, that's your increase, and then you would pay 10% of that. Now, he did say, which I thought was pretty interesting, that when you were baptized, you were supposed to pay 10% of all of your increase. And he said, you know, as an 8-year-old, I had to figure out what I'd made in the last 8 years, and that was a lot of money to me. which I thought was kind of funny.
I wonder
we
if
don't
he was talking
that.
About a first accounting or perhaps
yeah,
or something
maybe.
Like that. Yeah.
Something like that. I always chuckled because we don't make you pay, you know, when you get baptized or anything like that. But I think the concept of increase is a little bit different. So is your understanding more along the Community of Christ concept of tithing there, or would it be more of an LDS concept? Or is it different from both?
Wow. I think it might lean a little bit towards, it's kind of a combination of the two of what I'm kind of hearing a little bit. Certainly we look at asking the saints to look at things from the gross. And the reason we do, not because it's more, but because it's your first fruits. And that's where we're looking at it scripturally. Also, I just might mention, it is not a test of fellowship for you to pay your tithing. We do ask that everyone file tithing. And here again, we still don't even make that a test of fellowship, but we do highly encourage them that, you know, if you're not actually taking accounting, obviously you're not, you don't understand what you have. You know, you're not being a good steward. But that's kind of how we work on that end of it. I'm not trying to avoid your question. I'm just not really sure if I can draw a good dividing line between what those two, the two are, because the community of Christ, they have changed in their doctrinal beliefs. They you know, they're a continuing changing in their theology as it goes along. And so I can't speak fairly for them at all. And then and only from the LDS churches is that, you know, I'm kind of like you. I'm what I've read and those good friends that I've talked to, and they've told me, oh no, it's this way. And so and I don't want to misrepresent either one.
I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Jim. In our next conversation, we'll talk about the controversial topic of polygamy again, this time from a monogamy standpoint. The RLDS Church, for more than 150 years, believed that Joseph Smith was a monogamist. However, Prophet President Stephen Veazey announced sometime after the turn of the 20th century that the RLDS Church, also known as the Community of Christ, no longer believes that is the case. What is the conviction of the Remnant Church? Do they believe Joseph was a monogamist?
But no, I honestly don't believe that Joseph was a polygamist for a number of reasons. One is that if anybody would have known, Emma would have known, and Emma would have said so. And Emma was staunchly against polygamy. She had a lot of problems in Relief Society. And so, you know, if anybody would have, you know, borne the truth of that, Emma was, I believe she was a strong-willed woman like Sapporah. If anybody was going to say something, she was going to happen, and I don't think it would have been a mob that would have taken care of dear Joseph. It would have been Emma.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.